Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Baptism is one of the most significant ordinances of the Latter-day Saint movement. And without it, a person cannot enter into the celestial kingdom. Because it is essential for eternal life, and the fact that many people have died without having the opportunity to have been baptized presents a major problem for Mormonism. Latter-day Saints have sought to overcome this problem with the doctrine of baptism for the dead. According to this doctrine, those who have already died can have baptisms performed on their behalf by living Latter-day Saints. Mormons point to 1 Corinthians 15:29 as the biblical proof text for this practice. But what does the Apostle Paul actually mean in this passage?
The voice you just heard is that of Rich Sanford. He and Bradley Campbell have worked together to produce several videos under the title of God Loves Mormons. In fact, if you want to see their entire list of videos that they have produced on this subject, go to godlovesmormons.com. Rich, Bradley, I want to welcome you back to the show. Yesterday, we kind of allowed you to give a bit of an introduction of what brought you out to Utah, and I'm sure a lot of listeners, if they've seen your videos, would be amazed at where you've come from on the subject of Mormonism, because you said when you came to Utah, you really didn't have an understanding of either LDS history or LDS doctrine, and as I mentioned, you are certainly quick learners when it comes to this topic, and you've produced some excellent videos. The clip that we played at the beginning of the show is from a video that you did on the subject of baptism for the dead. That is certainly a unique teaching of Mormonism, one that they get from 1 Corinthians 15. Without playing the rest of the video, why don't you talk about why did you want to do this particular topic and what is included in the video that might entice people to go to your site and check it out for themselves?
Well, when it comes to us choosing the videos, we try to put videos together around the topics that are common conversation points when Christians talk with Mormons. And this is one of those that is a more common one, especially because it's not drawing upon a Book of Mormon reference. It's actually drawing on a Bible reference. So, my goodness, I must have read through that 20 times before moving to Utah. I never really thought much about it. But out here, Christians are asking that question all the time, like, my Mormon neighbor thinks this, and they pointed to this verse in the Bible. I don't know how to deal with it. We've had people coming out of Mormonism saying, listen, I don't believe the LDS Church anymore, but I have some verses like this. I'm just trying to figure out, what do we do with this? And so we talked to people about this, on the street about this in street evangelism. We've talked with Mormon missionaries back and forth about this thing. And we started to learn what really happens in that conversation and try to preempt the script that a Mormon might have for this kind of topic that they would say that we need to do baptism for the dead.
Well, let's get right into it. I happen to have in front of me a Joseph Smith translation. And of course, we've often mentioned on this show that the word translation is always in quotation marks when we mention this book. It's also known as the Inspired Version. And many of the verses in the Joseph Smith translation read very similar to what we find in the King James, because that's what Joseph Smith had to work with. Mm-hmm. He merely opens up a King James Bible and he starts making alterations wherever he saw fit. 1 Corinthians 15:29. Let me read it from the Joseph Smith translation. If you are familiar with the King James Version, it's going to sound very similar. Else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead? If the dead rise not at all, why are they then baptized for the dead? Bradley, if a Latter-day Saint brought that verse up to you, how would you address that verse?
Yeah, I think about this in kind of two categories when responding to people about this issue. One is textually, let's just look at the chapter. Look at what that chapter is saying and see if we can kind of get clues about what that might be meaning. And two is kind of the rest of the testimony of Scripture. Does it allow for the category of something like baptism for the dead? And so the first one that we would deal with is the text itself. So if you look at 1 Corinthians 15, and you just kind of trace through the logic of what the Apostle Paul is saying, The Apostle Paul is talking about two categories of people. He's talking about a genuine Christian who categorically believes in resurrection. And he all the time refers to this category. He talks about we, you. He uses these kinds of pronouns that talk about a group that he is writing to. They have the gospel. They're genuine believers. And if you just read 1 Corinthians 15, you find that he switches pronouns once he gets to 1 Corinthians 15:29. Instead of saying, we, why do we baptize people for the dead? He says, why do they, or why do people baptize for the dead? And that is not talking about the group of Christians in Corinth. It's talking about a separate group. I think it's talking about the group of people who do not believe in a resurrection at all. And kind of what Paul is saying is, why would these people who deny a resurrection do something like baptism for the dead? That doesn't seem to make sense at all. If there's no resurrection, then what they're doing on behalf of the dead is utterly meaningless.
So the Mormon assumption about this passage is that it is telling us of a time in Christian history, and then the time of the writing of the New Testament, where Christians were baptizing people for the dead. And that practice was lost, presumably during the Great Apostasy. And even just by the text itself, we don't see that Paul is saying this is a practice that Christians there are doing. He's actually admonishing people in the passage itself. And he's telling them about this practice, that it wouldn't even make sense for that practice to be taking place unless you considered resurrection, that people had a kind of innate sense that there was something that happened after we died.
It's important to note that there is no command here to baptism for the dead. He's not saying, so now you too be baptized for the dead. He's also not clearly identifying Christians as the one performing the baptisms for the dead. Those two points, I think, are really significant when we talk about this.
I think that Bradley's greater point in the context. First, it's important to note that while the Corinthian church is under judgment a handful of times, there are several places that Paul specifically says, I commend you in this. There are some things you guys do have, you know, that are important. And when he gets to the beginning of 1 Corinthians 15, he even lays out the gospel. This is what we have believed. And he shares the gospel, which includes critically the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, that you can't be a Christian apart from that. And so that's the point of this text. All chapter 15 is to highlight the significance of the resurrection of Jesus. That if a person were to deny that, they would be essentially denying the Christian faith and all of our basis for believing at all. So I think it largely, to that question, the answer is a context issue. Mm-hmm. He's not giving us a list of practices we ought to perform, but a belief that we should hold. A belief, namely, in the resurrection of Jesus.
Well, Bradley, you brought up the fact that the word they in the King James, or the Joseph Smith translation, is certainly used here. And I think that is a major point that probably we should focus on, because in the Doctrine and Covenants, which of course Mormons believe to be scripture, it talks about baptism for the dead being the most glorious subject pertaining to the everlasting gospel. You would think that if baptism for the dead was in fact the most glorious subject pertaining to the everlasting gospel, as Joseph Smith says, that Paul would have included himself and included the Christian church in that practice. And
we,
so
to
switch
exactly.
it out and to say they.
This is why we should, or something like
right.
that.
Right. I think that's a significant argument that should probably be raised when we're talking with our Mormon friends on this subject.
Well, we have to ask the question as well. Okay, we have this verse in 1 Corinthians 15, and if it is what the Latter-day Saints say it is, well, we don't really have a whole lot of history as far as this being done in the temple. But we have to also ask, how would the ancient Nephites have taken this practice? And I think that's an important point to make, because the Book of Mormon is the most correct book on earth, and a man could get nearer to God.
Contains
by
the fullness of the everlasting gospel.
Yeah, yep. So if you have the Book of Mormon, what verse would you use to help support this? In fact, instead of supporting this doctrine, a baptism for the dead, that somehow there's going to be this second chance, we have verses such as Alma chapter 34, 32 and following very clearly says that this is your life to be able to make that choice, and there is no second chance.
Right, yeah.
I think that is a good point, because if, in fact, the Book of Mormon does contain the fullness of the gospel, as Joseph Smith and others have made very clear, according to their worldview, why do we not see the Nephites, if they really existed, never even mentioning this practice?
Yeah. There's an additional component that just muddies us up even worse. Baptism for the dead, according to Mormon teaching today, can only be done in the temple. The assumption by many Mormons on the street, maybe not a Mormon apologist who's walked down this road a bit, the assumption of the Mormons that we talk to street level believe that this was a practice done in the temple. They don't know that women were never permitted in. Non-Levites were never permitted in. Only the Aaronites themselves could actually go all the way into the temple itself. And the baptismal was not even inside the temple. They wouldn't even call it that, but the basin for washing wasn't inside. So some of the practical things that would be necessary for the Mormon view to even be close to true are not only omitted, but specifically prohibited in the Bible.
Okay, once you've gone through the they and all that, where do you think you would go next on this passage?
I think immediately about the very nature of salvation and eternal life. There's lots of errors that compound this, so you have to kind of walk through a number of things. But the point is, Jesus, when he spoke, he talked about eternal life as something that we have secure now or we don't have. There's not this kind of expectation that we can die and then earn something after that. I'm thinking about the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man was a wicked man. Lazarus was a beggar. And when they're both, after they died, they're separated by this giant chasm. And the rich man asks, says, could you just touch, you know, the tip of your finger with water to my tongue? And Abraham responds, he says, no. And the rich man wants to come across the chasm, but sees that he cannot go across that chasm. I think that story is really insightful into how Jesus was thinking about the nature of eternal life and life after death. If baptism for the dead was a practice that allowed people after death to, as it were, cross the chasm into paradise, that would be utterly meaningless. The rich man can no longer affect his eternal destiny. He is stranded where he is. And so he's not able to cross. And no amount of works that he can do or another can do will allow him to get across.
To me, the thing that I think is the most wicked about the baptism for the dead view in Mormonism, the thing that is just utterly unthinkable to me, is not only do Christians not know precisely what that passage was referring to, and we are very slow to build major doctrines on questionable passages, which is actually exactly the opposite of what false prophets do. They grab the questionable, what does that mean, passages, and they build giant critical doctrines on them. But to us, we know that every person will be judged. Revelation 20 will tell us, judged according to his own works. Romans chapter 2 will say a similar thing. It's not the hearers of the word that are justified, but the doers. The problem with baptism for the dead, as I see it, as it relates to the gospel, and this is where we try to get to in conversation with people, is that the baptism for the dead doctrine claims that the atonement of Jesus is not enough. And not only that, but the missing piece can be provided by any random, sinful Latter-day Saint who gets baptized on a person's behalf, which means that the blood of Jesus is not sufficient, but what needs to be added to it is the water off the body of a sinner in order for them to be saved.
We've been talking to Rich Sanford and Bradley Campbell. They have produced a number of excellent videos dealing with the topic of Mormonism. You can find them at godlovesmormons.com. That's godlovesmormons.com.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Looking for strategies that will help you engage in meaningful conversations with members of the Mormon Church? Well, if so, take a look at Sharing the Good News with Mormons, a new book produced by Harvest House Publishers and edited by Mormonism Research Ministries Eric Johnson and Sean McDowell. Sharing the Good News with Mormons includes 24 helpful essays from 24 Christian apologists, scholars, and pastors. Pick up your copy at the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore or order directly from mrm.org.